You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 150, which is kind of one of those numbers, isn't it? It's like I suddenly start to think, oh, that's halfway to 300. Are we really going to make another 150 shows? And how many years is that? What's that? Is that 6 years? Anyway, somehow I think we will, because it just keeps on going and you keep loving it. And thankfully, people keep volunteering to come on the show with a dream to be interpreted, as Caroline did today. So as you'll hear later, because we've just finished recording that part of the show, Caroline has volunteered to be a guest on the show. She brought a wonderful dream full of, we had some good laughs, as we usually do, because, you know, it's good to laugh. And we found some great insights in Caroline's dream as well. So for those of you that are listening to The Dream Show for the first time, on most of our shows, not all, but on most, we have a guest on the show who brings a dream. It's always a dream. I particularly say, don't tell me anything about the dream before we start recording. So you hear the whole process of the dreamer telling the dream, me hearing it for the first time, and then you hear us explore the dream, work out what it means, how it relates to the dreamer's life, what the dreamer can draw for this, and most importantly, you also hear the dream alchemy, or the talk about the dream alchemy, which is the exercises that the dreamer can do to capitalize on understanding the dream and to transform any unconscious beliefs or attitudes which need to be transformed to make life just that little bit of a better experience. Caroline's dream's fantastic. One thing that's particularly interesting about it, as you'll hear, was it came on a night when she had four dreams that were quite anxious kind of dreams, and then the fifth dream, the last one of the night, was actually started in an anxious way but became very uplifting. So it has that sense of demonstrating how sometimes it can take us a whole night of dreams to process an issue from the last couple of days, and sometimes we hit that magic point where we suddenly go, oh yeah, you know, we could look at it this way, and that opens all kind of doors. So I think you'll love this one. I'm going to quickly give the website addresses that I have to give, and then lead you on, and you can just put your feet up or walk a bit faster if you're out for a walk listening to this, and you can enjoy listening to Caroline and her dream. The websites are, just in case you're hearing this for the first time and wondering how you can find out more information about me or about dreams, the websites are www.dream.net.au. For those of you that wonder, AU stands for Australia, because I live in Australia. Or you can go to my blog, which is janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or you can go to my dream store, which is janetheresaanderson.com. But the website and the blog lead there anyway. So you can go and investigate that, or you can find me on Facebook. But right now, here's Caroline and her dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Caroline.
Hi, Jane Theresa. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest. What made you decide to be a guest on The Dream Show?
Ooh, I am currently obsessed with dreams and figuring out what they mean and recording them. I've started a dream group, and I think they hold so much power. And I got to listen to a couple of your shows online, and I just thought, what a great experience. You have so much wisdom and insight into these dreams, and I just, it feels like kind of a celebrity thing. I was like, oh, I really want to be on that show.
I didn't realize what a leading question that was. I love your answer. Well, thank you. That's fantastic. So no doubt, being really interested in your dreams already, as usual, of course, with everyone on the show, I don't know what dream you're bringing to me, but you've probably got some ideas yourself on the interpretation, so it'll be interesting to see how we go. So the floor is yours. Let's hear your dream.
Great. So this is a dream that I had after a long night of sleeping, and I had a lot of kind of anxious dreams that I couldn't remember. And then right before dawn, I had this dream, which was really primarily an enjoyable one. And it begins... in a stressful situation, actually. It begins with me as a teacher, a substitute teacher in a classroom, and I'm trying to do some classroom management and get the kids to pay attention. So I teach them an attention getter. So it's a call and response, something like I say, 1, 2, 3, and they all say, eyes on me. And so I'm teaching this to them so that they will pay attention to me when I need them to. But then right after I teach them, I forget my part of the attention getter. So I can't remember the 1, 2, 3 part. And because I can't remember my part, then they don't say their part and they don't pay attention. Very stressful. And I ask another employee, I say, what's going on? I need some help. And she says, oh, actually, you're supposed to be in the gym class. That's the problem. So I say, okay, and I go downstairs to the gym, but there's nobody in the gymnasium. It's completely empty. And from there, I feel very free to wander about the school. So I go up a long flight of stairs, and it seems a little more like I'm in college at this point. It reminds me of my Russian department in college. And I'm sitting on a staircase preparing a tray of food with another person for who I think someone who's the head of a department. And we prepare this delicious tray with some food and a flower and give it to the secretary. And the secretary comes out after the professor's eaten, and I clean up the tray and help her put it away. And for some reason, she's very moved that I'm volunteering to help clean up this tray. And she goes inside and gets a check for me, and she hands me this check. And I think, oh, well, I can't receive any money. I was just helping out. That doesn't feel right. But even though I think I can't take the money, I start looking for how much money it's made out for anyway. Like very, very hungrily, very excited about how much money it is, even though I don't want it. And when I read who it's made out to, it's made out to not me, but I can't remember exactly, but it's made out to radiant, glowy jellyfish or radiant light being. Something like
wow.
That. And I get that it's kind of a reference to how angelic I was being. And me and the secretary look at each other and we just start cracking up. We start laughing. We think it's really funny. And then she turns into a very attractive older man who comes out of the same door she was behind. And I suddenly see that on the door it says Horos, H-O-R-O-S. And there's some pictures of puppets and masks, theatrical masks. And I understand that this man is this incredibly talented theater person, maybe an actor, and that he's particularly good at puppetry and mask making. And so I just follow him and start asking him questions. Mm-hmm. And I follow him down the steps and outside of the university. And he shows me pictures of his growing up. They're all black and white pictures of San Francisco. And as we get out to the street, I realize that he has had his success in life because he's just stayed in this one place in San Francisco and always worked in this one location. And he's very busy. He has a shoulder bag. He's walking home. But just as we're about to say goodbye, he turns around and he holds up a very, very tiny yellow raincoat and says, I mean, very tiny for a baby, maybe. Yeah. And he holds it up and he says, do you want this? And then we kind of smile and laugh at each other. And he walks away. I feel like it's the ending to a great, like, feel-good movie. And I feel wonderful. And I just start skipping up these big stone steps to the college and, like, full of happiness and joy.
Any idea what you were going to do in the college when you got there? I realize you woke up at that point.
It seemed like it was my home in a way. So I didn't have a plan, but it was like at that point, I was happy to be going back to that home.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, what a beautiful dream. I love it.
Yeah.
A tiny yellow raincoat, but we'll come to that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And I love Caroline, the fact that you said you had it was a night of quite anxious dreams, and then finally you had this one, which the actual dream began stressfully, but it had a happy ending. And quite often, you know, our dreams always process the last couple of days of our conscious and unconscious experiences. And quite often, each of the four or five distinct dreams that we have in a night, whether or not we can remember them, quite often they're addressing the same issue, but from slightly different angles. And I love the fact that because your dreams have gone anxious, 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 ooh, a bit anxious, but happy ending, it's almost like you've actually solved something, put something together in that dreaming night, and kind of came out at the end of the evening with the end of the sleep with, right, this is the angle to take on this issue.
Mm-hmm, so very much so.
So that's really, really good. And, you know, just before we go into it, just for the benefit of listeners, you know, people sometimes say, oh, does it really matter if you remember your dreams? Because considering that your dreaming mind is doing this work of processing the last couple of days, trying to make sense of all those experiences, trying to build a new picture of the world, trying to solve problems, why do you need to actually remember your dreams and work at them? If it's doing all that, don't you just open your eyes and go, I've got a great idea, without realizing where it came from? And of course, for some people, that works really well. But I think if you can actually look at your dreams and understand them, you get the deeper understanding of why you haven't been able to solve an issue up to now, why you suddenly do solve an issue, as in your dream. And when you get that deeper level of understanding, you can flow with it so much better. You know, you can go into the world more confidently and make changes or respond in different ways, because they're not just random thoughts to follow. You actually understand that it's a process that you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
So I like all of that. Now, as usual with these things, there's no such thing when we do a dream show starting at the beginning of the dream. We jump in the middle today. And Horos, you did say Horos, as in the Greek god Horus.
I think it's. I looked it up, and I think it's a word for dance in Greek.
Oh, for dance. Oh, wow. Oh, that would fits beautifully then, doesn't it? Because I was thinking maybe it was something to do with hours and time, but of course that's Kronos, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, you've done the work. It means dance, and that fits fine. Okay. Just say that word to me again, Horos.
Horos?
Horos, yeah. I just wanted to hear it in your accent, because sometimes there's a play on words in dreams, so how we say it could be. Yeah, because I did wonder when I heard it whether it was like horrors, as in things that are terrifying, you know, and dealing with them, because there's masks there too. And the other, I think I just want to jump right in at this little yellow raincoat as well.
Please do. It's so funny.
It is funny. You know, and sometimes it's like a standout, really bizarre symbol in a dream. And I think that is the standout bizarre symbol. So let's have a little go at looking at that now, even though we've yet to put it in context. So it was a tiny yellow raincoat. If that tiny little yellow raincoat had a personality, what would it be?
Cheerful personality. Kind of, I'm thinking of like a wobbly toddler.
Yeah.
And kind of like, adorable.
Adorable. Oh, it's how beautiful.
Incredibly adorable.
Okay, now give me the opposite, Caroline, of cheerful.
Depressed.
And give me the opposite of wobbly toddler.
Responsible adult.
Responsible adult. Oh. Goosebumps. And the opposite to adorable.
Repulsive.
I'll just explain why I did that for you and for everyone else. You can take a symbol in a dream. Often we do this when there's a person in a dream or someone that you know, but you can also do it with a bizarre symbol, and you just do as I said there, you know, what three words would you use to describe the personality of this tiny yellow raincoat? And then ask for the opposite. Now, it's never necessarily the logical opposite, it's just the first word that comes up for you. And sometimes you'll find that at least one of those sets of opposites defines one of the issues that the dream is about. So if you take the first one, for example, you've got cheerful at one end of the spectrum and depressed at the other. So we haven't yet looked into the dream, but for an example, one of the things that the dream might have been looking at is where do I stand along a continuum of cheerful at one end and depressed at the other? How do I handle these emotions in my life? I actually think it's probably going to do more with the second one because of what else is in the dream. So the second one, for example, you've got wobbly toddler. And aren't wobbly toddlers adorable at one end? and you've got responsible adult, which I heard and we all heard you go, oh, no, responsible adult at the other end. So my guess before we go into it and my feeling as you were reading out the dream is that one aspect of this dream is you working out something that was happening for you the couple of days leading up to the dream, where you were trying to find for yourself the best point along that continuum of feeling like a wobbly toddler at one end and feeling like a responsible adult at the other. And often with these things, not always, but often, the best place to be is kind of in the middle, you know, like a bit of the Chinese middle path or the Tao, you know, neither a wobbly toddler nor a responsible adult, but like Goldilocks, just right, halfway in between. And the reason I kind of picked that out was because you've got, at the beginning of the dream, you're in the teaching position, which I'll ask you about in a minute. So you were dealing with children there. And then later on, there were the references to dance and theatre. And that wobbly kind of feeling is almost like first steps and preoccupation with how the body moves. Mm-hmm. A sense it's a freedom. You referred a very upbeat way to freedom in the dream, which is very... can sometimes be difficult to get a sense of freedom when you're trying to be a responsible adult. So I think those are some of the issues, but what I really want to do is start at the beginning of the dream and go through them. But are you comfortable with where we're up to so far?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's great. Let's start at the beginning of the dream. Mm-hmm. Does this overlap with some reality? Do you sometimes do substitute teaching?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And I guess you're probably normally really, really good at it, are you?
I'm pretty good at it. I've had some great, great failures or learning moments where I felt like I felt in the dream.
Yeah. But not in the couple of days before the dream.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what that's really saying is the dream definitely wasn't processing any specific reference to a learning opportunity, as you put it there, in the day or two before in teaching. But it's probably borrowed that metaphor because you know through your teaching that what you can perceive as a failure sometimes is actually, in hindsight, a learning opportunity. So it's kind of in a start, the beginning of the dream's going, right, we've had all these anxious dreams during the night trying to solve whichever problem it is that we're going to come to. Now, let's remember that sometimes there is what can feel like a failure is actually a great learning opportunity. And let's start with that symbol there. But I think there's more to it than that. It's that feeling of the feeling I got when you were describing the dream there, Caroline, was that feeling of, you know, when you said the call and response was of cause and effect. You know, I call, you respond. If I can't remember step one, step two doesn't happen. Now, that's not to say that in every aspect of life, cause and effect is a winning approach to anything. Sometimes it really is so not. But the beginning of your dream is drawing attention to, oh, well, if you want an effect, you have to have a cause, don't you? You know, you have to do this in order to get that. So there was that kind of feeling there. And of course, you called it, it was a technique to get attention. So this part of the dream may also have been about something in the last couple of days before the dream. How long ago was this dream?
It was about a month ago.
About a month ago. So cast your mind back to then. It might have been processing in the couple of days before that, either a situation where you were trying to get some kind of attention literally in the outer world for something that you were doing, or more likely a part of yourself trying to get attention from you in the dream. Like calling attention. But really, the substance of the dream starts with that call for help. So you call for help in the dream, and that's great, because as you said, you had a number of anxious making dreams leading up to it. So it's great to get to that point where it's suddenly like, okay, you know, you can ask for help.
Right.
Maybe the tools and techniques that you've got in your kind of grab bag for dealing with whatever the issue was in the couple of days before the dream have not been sufficient for solving this particular issue, because the first few dreams of the night haven't really been able to process it. It's all about extending further than this asking for help. All given that what you're doing in the dream is asking for help from another aspect of yourself, but that's cool. So what it's really saying is that the tool and techniques like the call and response technique you had going in there in the dream, techniques that you rely on don't always necessarily work out. Let's call for help. Let's look for a different way to approach this. Mm. Now, who was it highlighted and said, oh, the problem is that you should be at the gym class? Who said that?
I don't remember the person exactly. It was someone who worked at the school, though. Like, I was just a substitute at the school, and this woman worked there regularly. Maybe she was another teacher, an administrator.
Yeah. So she kind of knew the system a bit better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll come back to her later, but she does highlight the problem. So yeah, actually, it's interesting you say that, because you said she's kind of a regular person there. She works mm-hmm. regularly. And later on, there was something towards the end of your dream. Oh, where was it? Yeah, the man at the end of the dream with the shoulder bag, the one that offered you the tiny yellow raincoat. You
yes.
said that, yeah. The wonderful thing that you noticed about him, that when you looked at him and you thought, he's successful because he stayed in one place.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, there's a kind of feeling of regularity there too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very much so.
Yeah. So there's an aspect of yourself, whether or not you consider your life, and I'll ask you later, whether or not you feel your life has been very regular or probably not very regular at all. There's still at this point in the dream, the fact that you can turn to an aspect of yourself in the dream, this woman that works regularly, and ask for help. So, you know, no matter what we do in life, we build up this resource of wisdom, either based on our observations of other people or experiences we've had in the past. And you kind of call on that from a part of myself that does know about regular systems, has told me that the problem here is that I'm in the wrong place. I should be at the gym. Mm-hmm. Now, it, at the beginning of the dream, do you know what you were teaching as a substitute teacher?
No, I really don't. It seemed like an ordinary classroom with desks and cubbies. And it's like the thing I was trying to teach the class was that call and response. It's like the class was teaching them how.
All right, I get you. You weren't just teaching that because you needed them to be able to pay attention to the subject you were teaching them. The whole thing you were teaching them was the attention.
The teaching was the attention getter, yeah. And maybe it might have been because I was substituting and I was preparing. I knew that it was going to be a challenge class.
Yeah, that's great. And preparing is a word that came up a few times in the dream, I seem to remember, as you were saying that. So again, at the beginning of the dream, you're preparing for something. If you think of everybody and everything in a dream as representing something about you, there's a part of yourself that you're trying to prepare to pay attention and also to get attention. It's all about attention. But right at the beginning of the dream, it's something like, well, if you want attention or if you want cause and effect, to work in this attention idea, then you're really in the wrong place. It's not a sit down and kind of learn situation. You need to be in the gym. And the lovely thing when you get to the gym is it's empty, but you somehow get the message in your dream and you go, okay, I'm free to wander. I'm free to move.
Mm-hmm.
What does a gym mean to you?
It reminds me of school, like middle school or elementary school, because I don't go to gyms in my adult life. It reminds me of being a kid and going to gym class.
Did you enjoy gym class when you were at middle school?
Uh, Not so much, actually. Thinking back on it, that wasn't a subject that I really liked very much. I didn't feel very comfortable.
So in the dream, it's like, so maybe it's not a surprise that there was no one in
Yes.
the
We didn't want to spend time there.
No. But it, as you say, also represents something to you that maybe it's something that you're not very comfortable with that isn't for you. So maybe in a sense, at that point in the dream, Caroline, the woman that you asked for help was saying, you're in the wrong place, go to the gym. And in the gym, you're going, yeah, of course I'm in the wrong place. I'm doing something that I don't feel comfortable with. Right? Once I realize this, that if you're not comfortable in something, of course you can make it work, but it doesn't really work. And that gives you, in a sense, that's probably the beginning of the turnaround in the dream. You're free to wander. So it's that sense of some aspect of your dreaming mind suggested to you. And a dreams don't actually give us guidance. Dreams don't say, yes, my dream said I've got to go and do this. What dreams do is show you how you're processing life. And so when you have a dream like yours where you suddenly go, oh, hang on a minute, here's a different approach to the problem, then you look at that and you go, and as I suspect we're going to do today, you go, actually, that's a really good idea. So awake and conscious, you or I or you and whoever can then say, you know, when I was processing that, my dreams last night, I came up with a new solution and I think it's a good one, so I'm going to follow it. So there's a sense in the dream that you suddenly perhaps realize for the first time that although you may have been talking about it for a long time, first had a really deep feeling of, look, if I'm not comfortable with something, it's really probably not where I'm meant to be. And this gives you in the dream a wonderful feeling of freedom, and you actually go upstairs. So there's a sense of moving up to maybe a higher level, this freedom that it gives you. And it takes you back to college. Were your college, how were your college days? Were they good days, bad days?
They were medium days, I would say. They wasn't very strongly either way. I didn't that place it reminded me was my Russian department, and I did feel like that was a little home at college, like those offices there. I enjoyed the time that I spent in that department.
But why was that in a nutshell? I mean, I guess you're basically saying if it was home that you felt comfortable there, but what was the essence, looking back with wisdom now, that really made you feel that the Russian department was home?
I was learning something really interesting and complex, which was the Russian language. And I really enjoyed that process of learning Russian and feeling like it was a very small community of people who were studying Russian at my school. So it also felt very, very unique in a way.
Okay, that's really lovely. So small community, unique, and interesting and complex. And you said you were learning something there. And it was interesting, Caroline, that at the beginning of the dream, when we were talking about the beginning of the dream, and you were saying, yes, I am a substitute teacher sometimes, and I sometimes have had failures, but I don't look at them as failures, I look at them as learning opportunities. And we're now talking about learning again here. You know, and I'm getting that sense, particularly with the staircase. As you know, yeah, on the one hand, it's easy to stay within comfort zone and stay with what you know. We all know that and do that. And sometimes you know that to get to the next level, a bit like going up that staircase, you've really got to challenge yourself. And sometimes you don't want to go there. And sometimes you do, and the more complicated the subject, the more you know that on the one hand you're going to wrangle it and you're going to love it because it's interesting, but on the other hand you know that it's not always comfortable. So there's some feelings there with the Russian department of you are actually at home and feeling comfortable when you are faced with a new learning opportunity, even when it is complex and complicated. So there's a feeling right from the beginning of the dream here that there was something you couldn't do at the beginning of the dream. It wasn't working, not getting attention. This led eventually to a feeling of freedom to wander, and this took you back to a place where you did actually feel very comfortable. And one of the a couple of things you felt comfortable about it was unique. It was a small group of people. It was interesting, and it was you were learning something complex. So the dream is saying, okay, I can imagine what it's like to be a substitute teacher. I can imagine it's very challenging. This is me speaking to you. Mm-hmm. But it's probably not what you really want to do.
No.
And your dream is saying, well, look, you know, I'd really like the freedom to be able to work with something unique and challenging, and that's where my comfort zone is. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, we then go into the whole series in the dream there about food and nourishing and, again, preparation. So it's almost like, yes, this is, I don't necessarily want to go back to then, but I'm at home here, and I like this feeling of preparing something nourishing, giving something, because you were actually as a volunteer at that part of the dream, giving and clearing up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was the head of department. And again, you know, if you stop and look at everyone in a dream as representing something about you, there's a sense there that some part of yourself that could maybe be in charge of this area of unique, new, complex learning where you feel very comfortable. You're kind of comfortable with preparing to nourish that aspect of yourself. Because and there's a sense there in the dream that you're thinking, look, maybe if I can't carve a paying job for myself out of this, I really feel comfortable as a volunteer.
Mm.
But they give you a check.
Right.
Did you notice how much it was for?
No, it didn't. I couldn't. It was so funny. I really wanted to know how much money it was for. I was really looking eagerly, and you know, that I couldn't see the numbers. I could only see it being made out to this person.
Yeah.
This radiant light fish.
So, jellyfish, you said too, didn't you?
Jellyfish. Yeah.
I'm going to come to the jellyfish in a minute. Well, what I get from that is almost like a clear distinction between left brain, right brain. The left brain wants to go, how much? But give me the numbers. But what are they? And is this well paid? Or what? Even though I'm not going to have the money, how much is it?
Mm-hmm.
And the right brain, it's more like the feeling, the radiant light. And you've also got the word being there. You said radiant light being as well as jellyfish. Yeah. So it's kind of like being rather than doing. Rather than give me the numbers, that's the kind of doing thing. What can I do with those numbers? What can I do with that amount of money? It's more a sense of what you get from nourishing this. It's something that is a learning opportunity for you that is unique and complicated. What you get from preparing for that and nourishing yourself within that is a sense of reward. That's the check, maybe a sense of reward in the way in which you be in the sense of just enjoying being a radiant light being rather than measuring the success by how much money it gives you.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about jellyfish.
I don't know. Well, I've seen some jellyfish recently. I at the place where I work is on the water, and I saw some really lovely small jellyfish in recently, I think before this stream. But you know, I work on the water, so I do see them sometimes, and I don't know, I like them.
and the personality of a jellyfish?
Is very, very fluid.
Okay, I love that, because when you said jellyfish, I was thinking, oh, like wobbly, like the wobbly toddler.
Oh,
wibble wobble. And you've in fact said the opposite. You've said fluid.
Yeah.
So I love, and a jellyfish is something that you love and that you're attracted to and you see a lot. So for you, a jellyfish has got this feeling of being actually very fluid. Which again is a right brain kind of thing, isn't it? It's flowing and creative, and you've got dance coming up at the next part of the dream and movement. And earlier in the dream when you got to the gym, it's like free to wander. It's jellyfish is almost like it's the radiant light being itself. It's just so fluid. And so to me, at least, there's a kind of possible tie-in by the time you get to the yellow, tiny yellow raincoat being could belong to a wobbly toddler. It's almost like, yeah, but a wobbly toddler grows into a fluid, moving, beautiful, radiant being as well.
Yes.
There's a connection there. So this part of the dream, anyway, you're definitely in touch with your angelic, as you said, your angelic side. Or you're being acknowledged for it. Hey, you've got attention for it, haven't you there?
Yes, I definitely did. I got called out for being angelic, and when we laughed about it, it was so funny when me and the secretary laughed about the how angelic I was. It's like we were kind of making fun of it, like, oh, you're so angelic, aren't you?
Well, I think if there's if angels are serious, they're not really being angels, are they? There's also, I don't think this is necessarily the case in this part of the dream, but you're sometimes, or it might be, you sometimes find in a dream if something is really, really funny, like laugh out loud funny in a dream, it's often because you've caught that point in the dream, or the dream is reflecting a real change in attitude or a real transformation of an unconscious belief in you. So it usually happens something like this. You've had an unconscious belief that's not working for you, that's been limiting, or you've had a way of seeing something which is kind of negative. And suddenly, or you have a way of responding in the world which isn't really working for you, and suddenly you get it, and that shifts and that changes. And when it's shifted and changed, you can't actually ever really look back and see, how come I looked at life that way before? It doesn't even make sense anymore sometimes, because you've transformed the belief. You're not driven by it. It just doesn't even compute. And so quite often you'll see in a dream when something is really, really funny, it's almost like seeing this, oh, how could I have thought like that? Oh, that's really funny. It's a release, and it can often mark a new way of looking at things. So in a sense, although you're laughing at being called angelic there, to me there's maybe a sense of seeing the funny side, maybe of some kind of issue of I better not be seen as angelic because, maybe I look a bit new agey or a bit wafty or a bit too, maybe I'm supposed to come across as a serious, responsible adult. I can't go out there grabbing attention as a kind of angelic, radiant light being. No one will take me seriously at all. Yet there's a sense in the dream that you call attention to that, and it's funny and it's good and it's okay. So it's almost like it catches this moment where you release the laughter and go, it's funny, but it's okay to be angelic, to be smiling and laughing. Particularly because at the end of the dream, you said that the little yellow raincoat was also cheerful, and the opposite of cheerful is depressed. So there may be an underlying theme here where at some points in your life you have held off being cheerful, or you've tried to be cheerful when you've been actually feeling less cheerful and felt that it was a bit false. And there's a sense in the dream here of actually touching that point of actually being genuinely cheerful and feeling good about it.
Definitely.
Yeah. And more so, Caroline, because there's another, straight after that, there's another transformation in the dream. As soon as you finish laughing at that, the secretary, who's a woman, becomes an older man. So there's a transformation. And he then becomes the key factor of basically the rest of the dream and everything you get from the rest of the dream. So if we say that this point in the dream captures a transformation within you, sometimes your dreaming mind is processing the last couple of days, and mostly, unfortunately for most of us, we process the last couple of days, go, oh yeah, same old, yep, all those experiences, yeah, life's always the same, nothing changes, and we often miss the opportunity to realize that there was actually a subtle change in how we experienced yesterday, and it's something that we can build a change on in our life. And dream work is a tool often for recognizing that we can easily make that mistake and classify things as same old instead of realize a seed of opportunity. But you actually realize it in your dream. You get the transformation there, and we catch that point where your dreaming brain has gone, no, something's changed, something's different, something's different. So your secretary, who's a female, becomes an older man. Now, that secretary was really a very helpful and lovely person in the dream, wasn't she?
She was.
She was another helper. You had your first helper, who was the regular woman, and then she was also helping you, and she helped draw attention to you. She laughed with you. What one word would you use to describe that dream secretary?
ordinary.
Yeah, I thought, now see how hard I tried there to really build her up and give her all these positive
You
attributes.
really did.
Because I really wanted to flush out the opposite there. She was ordinary, and she wasn't ordinary in the dream, but you perceived her as ordinary, and she transformed into something absolutely fantastic. So again, there's this sense of the part of yourself that up to now you've maybe sometimes labeled as ordinary. Oh, that. Oh, no, I'm not angelic. Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do this. I'm not worth all that money on the check. I'm not a radiant light being. I'm just an ordinary person. None of us are ordinary, really, thank goodness. But this part, you captured that moment, Caroline, in the dream where you and maybe that's part of the laughter in the dream too. It's like, no, actually, I'm not ordinary. Maybe sometimes I've put myself in what I perceive as an ordinary role because I think it's a sensible thing to do. But really, as the beginning of the dream has just shown you, whatever you have to do, whether or not you have to be a substitute teacher to bring in some money, I don't know. But your dream has said, to achieve these other things, you really need to find a place where you feel comfortable, where you've got all the sense of being at home and doing something unique and doing something that's interesting and complex and angelic and allows you to shine your radiant light being, enables you to be fluid, even if it begins with wobbly first steps.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
And that is so far from ordinary. So in fact, you transform into this wonderful Horus. This dance, yeah. And mm-hmm. and how wonderful too that, and excuse me to any men listening in who are dancers and wonderful creative people, of course there are many of you, but we tend to think, the last thing we tend to think of an older man who's a professor at a university, the last thing we tend to think is that he's a dancer or interested in dance.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm really saying is that in your dream you've got a male-female balance there. You've got the dance, the professor of dance kind of aspect of yourself, pictured as a older, successful professor man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like as a person interested in complex things, you like grappling with complex things. That's almost like a male aspect, a let me work it out. An intellectual kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this marrying of the dance and the fluidity and the radiance and the feminine side with the male side of long wisdom and being able to work this out and look at the intellectual component of things. There's a lovely, lovely, lovely sense of balance there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the puppets and masks in the theatre, these were symbols on his door.
Uh-huh, yeah. I saw some theatre masks on the door, like the comedy, tragedy masks, and then maybe some pictures of past productions that he'd been in as an actor, and then, but I just understood without remembering our conversation, I understood that his specialty was in masks and puppet making, as opposed to, just understood that was his specialty.
Okay, that's really lovely. So you've got that reminder for us all that the two masks represent the comedy and the tragedy, mm-hmm. which again could be cheerful versus depressed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful work that we can do with any aspect, whether it's dream work in particular or theatre work, or any work with the self, this thing about looking at masks and puppets in a positive, therapeutic way. You know, we often talk about masks and people think, oh, yeah, this is like a mask I'm wearing. I've got to take that off. I've got to get to the person underneath. But, of course, in working with therapy, with people, with adults and with children, we can often use puppets and masks to role play, and which, of course, a lot of theatre is about too. So there's a whole sense there. As you say, you want to follow that. That your instinct in the dream is, I want to follow this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all of that aspect there, which is just wonderful. You follow him outside. I love at this point that you go outside because it's almost like everything up to now in the dream has been inside. And if the dream is only inside or only outside, it's like, yeah, so, you know. But when you have a dream and it's all inside, and all of a sudden it's all outside. And once it's outside, this kind of all these realizations just start coming in. It's often when you've something has clicked inside and you're now kind of got it out there and coming out with it and seeing how it could relate in your waking life, or something in you coming out. And I loved it when also when you looked at his door, I think you said there were some photos of past productions he'd been in. So there's this reference there to whatever it is that you're processing in this dream, this reference to the past as well, you know, perhaps a recognition that you, whereas you thought that things that you've done in the past, you haven't given yourself attention to, you haven't given recognition to, you didn't think radiant enough. You're now thinking, actually, maybe they were, you know, maybe wisdom, as in this professor who stayed in this place all this time, has actually been able to build on all his past experiences to get to this point, and that you may have missed the opportunity to actually, and you may have discounted a lot of your past instead of realizing that it's actually wonderful and it's something that you can take forward and use. I'm just going to do one. Yeah, because I'm only going to do one more thing, then I'm going to hand this over to you, because I'm dying to know what's happening over there. So basically the last thing you notice is, oh, he's got a shoulder bag on. What does that mean to you, a man that wears a shoulder bag?
It's kind of like, he's just old, but he's hip, you know? He's fit. He's got his briefcase going over the shoulder.
Okay, that's great. Old but hip is exactly how it should be. So what he's doing is he's not an old person that has become stuck in his ways. He is still growing and moving and learning new things and putting new things into practice. And that's the best form of wisdom, isn't it? It's not going up, oh, well, in the old days we used to say, oh, that's good, that's a really good bit of wisdom, thank you. It's I mean, true wisdom is being able to call on all this wonderful history of learning opportunities. And still can move forward with that and continue and build new things. So that's really what he's representing there, an intense store of wisdom that you have and where you can take it from here. And in a sense, although I get from your kind of snickers and remarks about, oh, yes, he stayed in one place, I get the feeling that you probably haven't geographically. Remember that dreams aren't literal, and although you might have thought that in the dream, oh, he's got that because he stayed in San Francisco all the time, he's got his community, he's got his network, he's got his acknowledgement or whatever, always take a sidestep and look for more of an allegory in the dream, or a metaphor even, and say, okay, so maybe him staying in one place is just staying on theme, or staying with one area. So, you know, you may have in your life touched on a number of different, because you love interesting and complex things, it's very likely that you've studied all kinds of things. And sometimes you can get to a point in life and think, but I'm too eclectic. I should have just stayed with one of those, really, you know. But sometimes the most magical, most wonderful, the most radiant things can come from someone who has done all those different things that can suddenly put all those together. And how could you have moved forward and seen this way of putting things together if you hadn't been there and there and there, not necessarily geographically, but in your gathering of experiences? And that's the sense that I get from the end of the dream. And when he holds up the tiny yellow raincoat, says, do you want this? It's almost like, okay, here you go. Like, you may feel like a baby taking wobbly little steps, you know, I understand the dream may be saying that you don't want to be a responsible adult, or you might have had issues with what responsible adults, I'm guessing here, issues with what being a responsible adult represent for you. And it's now like, no, you can take wobbly new steps, because wobbly new steps is what you love. You love being a jellyfish. Wobbly is actually fluid. It's being radiant. And begin to put some things together. It's okay to be cheerful. You can wear this, the new beginning, tiny yellow raincoat, baby steps based on huge, huge wisdom. And as you said at the end of the dream, it was a real sense of, I think you said there were stone steps, stone as a real, I love stone. I love putting bare feet on stone. It's got that feeling. This is my association, not yours, but I'm reading it into your dream. It's got that sense of ancient. It's cool. It's connected. It's deeply grounded. It's beyond the earth. And yet you're going up the stairs to a place that you feel like is home. So there's a real sense in the dream of connected. And if, with this, I can take really great steps. So to me, that's what your dream has... That your dream a month ago reflected that you reached that point in processing what happened a couple of days before, and it was up to you whether you felt that this was a good mindset to go forward with. So would you like to enlighten us on whatever you'd like to say at the moment?
I think so. I mean, I feel like what you've just covered in the past 45 minutes or so is so incredibly in depth and relevant to my life that it's really, really striking that it's all in that one dream. And no wonder I felt like this dream was important, because it is. I don't even know exactly what to say, because it's all just, it's absolutely true. This particular analysis or interpretation. Like 100% true. Everything from like the scale of being cheerful to depressed, and the different masks and the multitude of studies and different kinds of work that I've done. And this actual in this beginning of this year, you know, around the time that I'm having a stream, and still a period that I'm in now of really trying to make my own work, or make a change in my work in particular, and feeling like just all of those different levels of am I qualified to make this change, and feeling, you know, on the one hand, like deeply qualified just as a human who has experienced a lot and really studied many different things, and then feeling completely unqualified because I haven't necessarily gotten into what I feel like is my true flow for work in my life, and had a lot of stress about that. So I can understand why this dream felt like such a happy place to be in.
Oh, that's fantastic. And being that it was a month ago, mm-hmm. would you say that, and I know you've worked on the dream yourself as well, and what did you make of the dream when you did it yourself?
Well, I had some similarities. I feeling like there was some exploration going on, and I was really enjoying arranging things was a big theme to me when I looked at it myself, like really enjoying how I put things on the tray, which you came up with a great word for that there's a theme of preparation in the dream.
Yeah.
So I was really, you know, those parts stood out to me. And I was really curious when I was looking at it myself about that Horos on the door. Really stood out to me, because actually dance and movement is a great passion of mine. And so that stood out to me as a kind of, as a calling or something that's really important. Yes. To me in life, that was on that door. And then I didn't know what to make of that raincoat, though. I really didn't. And I kept laughing about it, and I told people about it, and I laughed about it, but I had no idea what it could be. So I'm really particularly grateful for that, that understanding, or that feels really right to me, is that raincoat is for, coming from the inside to the outside and taking these wobbly steps is just... And somehow feeling delighted about it, even though it's kind of scary. You know, I laughed at him and felt great. So
that's great, because, you know, yeah. to some extent, if we don't begin with wobbly steps, we can start out too fixed. You know, this is the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's only sometimes in the wobble that you not only correct and find out how to stand, but in the wobble that you can discover a new move, or a new way of, you know, a new way of moving. So that wobbles. Well, yeah, no, you did really well with your own interpretation. That's fantastic. We're working towards doing some dream alchemy now, but because the dream was a month ago and you already did some work on it yourself and it was really such a breakthrough dream, looking back, would you say that you, in any case, made or experienced some changes in your life as a result of having and working with the dream yourself?
I feel it's kind of like you're going the right way kind of dream. Like I feel like the dream is the equivalent of a signpost on the road of life saying, yes, this way. So I think particularly that part about the light being and not being so concerned with the money and the how does everything work out? But that part meant a lot to me in my own life and in trying to figure out changes in my work life and having also a lot of concern about my financial well-being at the same time. So that brought some ease to something that's often quite challenging.
Oh, that's really wonderful. You know, because as and I think I mentioned earlier, you know, with the financial side of it, if it is a concern, you know, there's still it. We don't have to. You don't have to go and abandon being a substitute teacher. You can do that as well as preparing and moving into. But it's very strong that you're comfortable and going along this way. So we'd like to work out some dream alchemy. So for people listening in that might not have encountered this before, just very, very briefly, what we normally do with dream alchemy is if a dream indicates a limiting unconscious belief that's holding you back, we do a dream alchemy, which is an exercise designed to transform that limiting unconscious belief into an unconscious belief which is going to work for you. So it's about transforming. If we've got a dream which is largely very positive, like yours, sometimes we use a dream alchemy exercise to really amp that up a bit, or to pick a couple of the symbols just to really iron them out a bit. And essentially, what we're doing in dream alchemy, complicated subject, but down to a couple of sentences, is using the symbols of our dreams, which our unconscious mind have come up with, to talk to our unconscious mind. So instead of doing a conscious mind visualization, that you might do a visualization of, I don't know, but you know, I'm going to be a wonderful dance teacher. I know it's way beyond that, but just let's use that. And then all that does is it resonates with the unconscious voice that says, no, you're not, no, you're not, no, you're not, no, you're not, no, you're not. So it actually brings up the opposite. In dream alchemy, we look into the dream for that symbol of the dance teacher, and we talk to your unconscious mind in the visualization or the work that we do to transform it. So one of the things that's occurring to me is because you're obviously interested in dance, you're obviously interested in the body and body movement itself, to state the obvious. So I'm thinking of maybe suggesting to you a dream alchemy exercise which actually involves the body, but it's very, very simple. And I'm thinking of something like moving, standing, imagining, don't do it now, but just see if this idea works for you, an idea of walking in your imagination, but actually moving your body up stone steps. So feeling the stone steps below you as you walk up, and kind of looking down and seeing engraved on each stone step two words. One is radiance and one is Horus. So that on each step, it's reminding you a lot all along the way of, on the one hand, yes, it's the radiance, because that was a really key symbol that your dream brought up for you, that really gave you that connection, and the other Horus, because it's got that ancient feel as well, that ancient wisdom. It's an old name, as well as everything that it represents for you, dance. And the other thing I thought was that we won't kit you out in a tiny yellow raincoat, but maybe you could make or get a little strip of that yellow kind of material, the fabric that those little raincoats are made of, and make like a little bracelet, not necessarily to wear out in the world, but to put on your wrist at home or at some time, or maybe while you're doing, or even just to imagine having it on your wrist. So there's a sense of you're either just doing it as a visualization or as a dance or as, with your eyes closed, visualizing and moving your body as if you're walking up stone steps, seeing the words engraved because they're with you, Radiance and Horus, walking up the stone steps, feeling that deep connection, going to a place of feeling deeply comfortable at home, and yet feeling this lovely little yellow reminder on your wrist of cheerful baby steps and wobbly. It's better to be wobbly than to be too fixed at the outset. Mm-hmm. How does something like that feel to you?
It just sounds wonderful.
Okay. So because it's not technically a visualization, I'm not going to lead it through you through it now. And because I know from talking to you that you're an incredibly creative person, I'm going to leave you to work out how to do that yourself. But essentially, either do it as a visualization or do it as a kind of easy body movement. Don't take any longer than 30 seconds. So it's not a major opus. It's something that you want to be able to do 20 times a day for a couple of weeks. So you want to be able to grab that moment and go, okay, I'm having a Horus moment here. Mm-hmm. Big deep breath, standing tall as a dancer, place your arms where they wish to go, and just actually lift your legs and walk up those stone steps by looking down, seeing the words Radiance and Horus engraved on them, and feeling or looking at the yellow strip around your wrist. Doing that 20 times a day for a couple of weeks, what you're doing is engaging your body and your visualization and really putting the emotion and feeling, as you do at Caroline, of I'm coming home, I'm comfortable, I'm wise, I'm radiant. And what you're doing in that is you're constantly, every time you do that, you're engaging with your own unconscious mind. You're back in that feeling of the dream. You're amping up the stuff that was good. You're fine-tuning the wobbles. As in, yes, you are angelic. Yes, you are Horus. Yes, these are stone steps. Yes, you can put this together. Yes, this is dance. And so it's deepening and in a more scientific term, it's hardwiring those new neural circuits for you.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Any last questions before we take a stage bow?
No, I don't have any questions. I look forward to walking up those stone steps.
Okay, that's lovely. We look forward to seeing where you go and how. Although you're already on the path, thank you for being a fabulous guest, Caroline.
Thank you.
I just love all our guests and I love all the dreams they bring. And aren't we just all really such beautiful, what was the word, radiant light beings? It's just that we don't know it. And sometimes we feel more like the wobbly toddler and the jellyfish. But it's great. So I hope that amongst many other things and amongst all the tips that you got about looking at your dreams from listening to us today and the inspiration that you got from listening to Caroline and what's going on in her life, I hope you can also take away the idea of really getting more in touch with your own radiant light being and the fact that sometimes it's better to take wobbly steps and start a journey than to take no steps at all. We become excellent dancers and we all learn to dance our own unique dances through life if we just have the courage to take those wobbly steps. As Caroline said, jellyfishes are very fluid. Is that the plural of jellyfishes? It's not. I think the plural of jellyfishes is jellyfish. But so on that note, before it gets really complicated, I'm going to go. The websites are dream.net.au and the blog janeteresa.com. and the dream store, janeteresaanderson.com. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, which of course is an entirely voluntary thing and a wonderful thing to do, you can go to any of those places, the website or the blog, and you'll find out how to do that, how to contact me with that intent to be a guest on the show. Have a wonderful month. Please do share this with all your friends and colleagues and anyone interested in dreams. We are building this resource. There's 150 episodes on the way to 300. And so we're building this resource to make it specifically to make it a freely accessible resource that everybody around the world can access to not only learn about how to approach and interpret and understand their dreams, but also to be inspired. And we are listened to in 26 countries and we thank you for listening. But we want even more people to listen and enjoy and learn from this. So please spread the good news. And I'll see you next episode, which will be episode 151, which will go out on the 2nd of May, this being 2014. You can listen back to all the episodes on any of my websites or blogs. Just click podcast and you will be able to access and download and listen to 150 hours. And that's all there. And also the last 10 shows are also always on iTunes. So you can also go to iTunes and subscribe there, and you'll always have the most recent show come to you. I think we're well over an hour, and this download's going to be too big to download if I don't shut up and go away now. So have a lovely month, and I'll talk to you next month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.